Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the second Sunday of Advent, 2007. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. On that day, a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a bud shall blossom. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and strength, a spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, and his delight shall be the fear of the Lord. Not by appearance shall he judge, nor by hearsay shall he decide, but he shall judge the poor with justice, and decide aright for the lands afflicted. He shall strike the ruthless with the rod of his mouth, and he will breathe of his lips, and he shall slay the wicked. Justice shall be the band around his waist, and faithfulness a belt upon his hips. Then the wolf shall be a guest of the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion shall browse together, with a little child to guide them. The cow and the bear shall be neighbors, together their young shall rest. The lion shall eat hay like the ox, the baby shall play by the cobra's den, and the child lay his hand on the adder's lair. There shall be no harm or ruin on all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, as water covers the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse, set up as a signal for the nations, the Gentiles shall seek out, for his dwelling shall be glorious. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Justice shall flourish in his time, and fullness of peace forever.
Justice shall flourish in his time, and fullness of peace forever.
O God, with your judgment endow the king, and with your justice the king's son. He shall govern your people with justice, and your afflicted ones with judgment.
Justice shall flourish in his time, and fullness of peace forever.
Justice shall flower in his days, and profound peace till the moon be no more. May he rule from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth.
Justice shall flourish in his time, and fullness of peace forever.
For he shall rescue the poor when he cries out, and the afflicted when he has no one to help him. He shall have pity for the lowly and the poor. The lives of the poor he shall save.
Justice shall flourish in his time, and fullness of peace forever.
May his name be blessed forever. As long as the sun, his name shall remain. In him shall all the tribes of earth be blessed. All the nations shall proclaim his happiness.
Justice shall flourish in his time, and fullness of peace forever.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, whatever was written previously was written for our instruction, that by endurance and by the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to think in harmony with one another, in keeping with Christ Jesus, that with one accord you may with one voice glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, then, as Christ welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I say that Christ became a minister of the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, to confirm the promises to the patriarchs, but so that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. John the Baptist appeared, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, a voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, as they acknowledged their sin. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, He said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now, the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with the unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello, and thank you for joining us this week. Today I'm here with a seminarian friend, Deacon Manny Durantis. Do you want to say hello to the audience?
Hello, everyone. It's good to be back.
Yes, and I was going to say you have been on the podcast before with us, so you're kind of familiar with how things go. So I'm going to ask you right off the bat then, anything strike you from these readings that you want to discuss or bring out?
Well, I guess, you know, the church in her wisdom is continuing the message from last week's gospel reading, and the whole theme of preparation, be vigilant, expect, you know, we heard in last week's readings to be vigilant as those who expect a thief to come into the night for the coming of the Son of Man. And as we prepare in this season of Advent, I'm struck by this continuing idea that we are to get ready for the coming of the Lord. And now through, I think, in a very explicit and even almost forceful way, St. John the Baptist says, you know, you better, you know, straighten the path for the Lord. Make way for him.
He calls him a brood of vipers. I mean, he doesn't mix words back. Yeah, they didn't mix words too much back then. They kind of said exactly what they meant.
You know,
a brood of vipers. But I think that it is important for, you're right to bring up this whole Advent season, really, for us as a whole season of preparing ourselves for the coming of Christ. And we do that in many ways. And certainly one of the things that we want to make sure is that it's our Christmas preparation isn't just this secular Christmas preparation, by that, you know, something that's not religious, you know, where we decorate our houses and put up pictures of Santa Claus and everything. But we also need to do interior preparation, and kind of the command here is to repent, for the kingdom of God is, you know, at hand, or it's coming into the world here. And so I think that it is an important theme that you did pull right out of these readings here, that we need to use this time to not only, you know, decorate our houses, but to decorate our inside, our spiritual life, be it, you know, through prayer. It can be through, it doesn't have to be a mournful thing at all. It doesn't have to be a mournful preparation. I've heard of some people who kind of treat it like a second Lent. And my response is always, well, when you're preparing to have a baby, you have to do preparation, you know, but it doesn't have to be mournful preparation. It can be a joyful preparation.
Well, taking on that, I think it's important, the historical context, that before the Code of Canon Law in 1917, you know, actually Advent was treated as a second Lent, where people were bound to fast and do other things that are very similar to the devotions and things that we do during Lent. But it wasn't for more like a penitential purpose, but rather as a devotional aspect, as I understand it, to look into this season, to say, all right, what's really wrong within my life? Where does the power of God need to come in? You know, what's that corner? What's that habit? What's that thing that keeps me, you know, from welcoming Christ into my life? Because I think everyone legitimately tries. Everyone wants to say, Lord, come into my life. But in order for the Lord to come, in order for us to accept him, there has to be some change, because the presence of Christ requires change. It's transforming. It's the light that comes in the middle of the darkness. When you put darkness and light together, you know, what happens? Automatically,
light
takes over.
That's right.
You know, but the darkness has to give in The darkness has to give in, and we have to be able to give in. One thing that caught me also from the reading of the gospel for this weekend, the Gospel of Matthew, is the line where it says, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." And that's in reference to the prophet Isaiah. But the idea of making straight the path, you know, St. Augustine defines sin, you know, as curvatus in se, curved in, caved in, twisted, you know, kind of like, you know, not straight.
Yeah.
And here, I don't know, it just got to me, make straight his paths. And I think that's what this whole season is about.
Yeah. And one thing I want to address, too, with our readers, you mentioned something called the Code of Canon Law, real quick, for those people, or I think I said readers, but you guys are all listeners out there. my point is the Code of Canon Law, for people who don't know, is the legal code of the Catholic Church. So it's kind of the rules of the Catholic Church. We have our own law. Many people may not know that, but that says, you know, how we're supposed to do different things. And so when Manny was talking about the Code of Canon Law and what it prescribed for Advent, or how it's changed a little over the years, that's what he was referring to. But I think also you have a very valid point on it. It is this idea of we need to make ourselves ready to receive that light. I think that was a powerful image that you used too, the darkness and the light there. And I also, you know, agree too with the image of changing the sin being this curved or crookedness, and we have to straighten that out if we're going to receive the Lord. We can't, a lot of times what we want, I've heard an expression says, what Jesus came to do is he said he came here to be with us in our pain and to take away our sin. And what we want is the exact opposite. We want him to be with us in our sin and to take away our pain, but that's not the way he works.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something we need to realize. And so we do have that need for repentance. Now, one other thing I wanted to address, Manny, when I asked you to come on this podcast, one of the things that you mentioned is December 9th is the feast of
San Juan Diego.
Right. And yet today we're not celebrating that. It's second Sunday of Advent. Do you want to explain why it is that we're not celebrating that or how this works, just for our listeners who might be curious?
Well, San Juan Diego, especially I think in the churches in Latin America, was canonized by His Holiness John Paul II in 2000. San Juan Diego is that peasant, Aztec peasant, to whom Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared. Mm-hmm. And I know we celebrate Our Lady of Guadalupe on December 12th, but the first apparition actually happened on December 9th, 1531. The reason why we don't celebrate it is because Advent takes precedence over the memorial of St. Juan Diego. However, you know, many priests, especially in Latin America, will incorporate this image of St. Juan Diego. And specifically, I mean, if we look at the gospel this weekend and see how this played out in his own life, he thought that he was unworthy. He thought that he was not worthy to take the message of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the message of the pregnant Madonna, you know, her who was expecting Jesus, he was too humble, he was poor, he was not educated. So why was he chosen to take this? In the apparition, he tells Our Lady, you know, choose somebody else who's smarter than me, who is recognized by the church and by the politicians and everybody, mm-hmm. you know. And yet, Juan Diego has to go through his own conversion of his own ideas and of understanding about who he is. You know, made in the image and likeness of God, chosen. In a way, Juan Diego is sort of preparing us for the message of Christmas itself, mm-hmm. which is, you know, that here are the poor and they're being lifted, you know, and dignified by God.
Mm-hmm. And in that same light, it was, you know, the shepherds who first received the message from the angel that Indeed. The Savior has been born. And so there is a sense where we're all worthy. I also did also want to make sure that our listeners knew that the church wasn't, you know, just dismissing Juan Diego this year or anything, but the way the church calendar, like you said, is set up, Sundays are, all Sundays actually, are Christological feasts or feasts of Christ. And so we always say that that takes precedence over any other feast day that might occur on that same day. So if it had been any other saint or, you know, dedication of a church perhaps or something sure. like that, all of those would be, the Christological feast of a Sunday would take precedence over that, and so we'd celebrate that. But like you also mentioned, is a lot of times, especially in places where a devotion might be particularly strong, so if it had happened to be, you know, St. Patrick's Day and we were in Ireland, or Our Lady of Guadalupe and we're in Mexico, sometimes they move the feast day. Or the other thing is, a lot of times it'll be incorporated into the Christological feast.
Right.
So the community will still celebrate it, but at the same time we don't diminish or take away from the feast of Christ either. Well, I can see we're running out of time here, but I want to thank you for coming on again, and it was kind of last minute, so I appreciate that. Don and Father Mark, who are normally on the podcast, will hopefully be back next week. They were both busy this week. And we hope you'll be back next week as well to join us on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.
God bless you.